like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. December is a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal was $1,500. As you see, we've had a little over 400 given as of today. So we have four of the candles lit. They should be envelopes in the pews if you'd like to give. Just put the money or your check in the envelope, or if you write a check, you can just make it out to Woodland Baptist Church, but just put on there for Lottie Moon and it'll get designated to that. Please have your angel tree gifts to the church today so we can get them handed out to that family. Don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock after the evening services, birthday party for Jesus here at in Fellowship Hall. We also are asking if you would bring gifts of socks or blankets for the nursing home residents, and also if you wanted to, you can bring items for the food pantries. We need to restock that. This Thursday at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting. Next Sunday, fellowship meal after the morning service for our Christmas lunch, so please remember that. And then Sunday evening, December 21st, meet at the church at 4 p.m. We will go Christmas caroling. This will be our evening service that evening, next Sunday. Wednesday, December 24th at 6 p.m. is the candlelight service and Lord's Supper in the original church. And then Tuesday, January the 20th at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting. Any other announcements? If not, any birthdays? Nobody's pointing at anyone today, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and as always, the opportunity to come and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we just lift up these services to you today, Lord. We just pray for Brother Tim as he stands before us today, Lord, and as we even studied in Sunday school, Lord, that he'll proclaim your message, Lord, your word today, Lord. And we know that you have prepared him, Lord, to give us the message that we need today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we will just be attentive, Lord, that we will not only just listen, Lord, but we'll be obedient to your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here. Oh, yes, we have a video, and Shauna told me that we were going to do it the very first thing. And
I read it, too.
You read it, you didn't remind me.
It's in the folder here.
But thank you, Shauna. Yeah, we have a Lottie Moon video.
2019 marks 100 years that Southern Baptist Offering for International Missions has been called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. You probably know that 100% of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes directly overseas to support IMD missionaries serving around the world. 0% goes to overhead and administrative costs. Every penny goes directly to IMD missionaries to declare the majesty of Christ to a lost world. Inspired by a spirit of a gospel-driven partnership, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is an effective initiative that God is using to extend his work in a world that desperately needs to hear that Christ died for the forgiveness of sin because of the mercy and grace of God. Lottie Moon isn't the name of a clever marketing campaign. It marks the legacy of a giant who followed Christ with full surrender and championed others to do the same.
This morning we'll start with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you can stand, please stand with us as we worship together. We sing all three verses.
Mercy, my God, and sinner friend. Thank you.
Father, as we come to this part of our worship service today, Lord, we just once again praise you, Holy Spirit, Lord, and thank you for the many blessings that you have just given us, Lord, at Wigan Baptist Church and each person individually, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for this offering, Lord. We just pray that you will bless it, Lord, and that we will use it in a way, Lord, to further your kingdom here on earth. We pray these things in Christ's name.
Sermons where you kind of don't know where to go with it. You do, but you don't, you know, because on Sunday mornings as a pastor you like to just share the gospel and hope people respond to it and to other issues within their lives. But this morning Paul has been talking about the problems with a false gospel that the Judaizers have been bringing into the churches of Galatia. And as we've said over and over again, the message they were bringing was not a good news message. It was a bad news message, because if you do away with the gospel of salvation by grace through faith, then you no longer have the gospel. As we think about that, we think about it as a pastor. I thought about it as a pastor. You can spend time, energy, effort pouring into the lives of people that you shepherd. And sometimes they turn their back on you. You tell them the truth and they don't like you. Paul, in a very real sense, was, in our passage for today, he was expressing concern for the church, because he came to them, and when he came, he brought them the good news of salvation by faith, not by works, not by keeping the law. And the people believed at first, but then as time went on, and as false teachers, the Judaizers came in and began to spread a false gospel that salvation through faith was okay, but it couldn't be completed until you kept the laws perfectly. And that is total opposite of the gospel, because the law was never intended to save you in the first place. It is only by faith, and as Paul has already
declared earlier in the book of Galatians that even Abraham was not saved by keeping law. He was saved by faith, by simply believing God. We don't have to jump over lines and hoops and through hoops and stand on our heads and cross our fingers to get into heaven. We must simply believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to place our faith and trust in Him. And as we do that, He begins to give us the mind, the heart, and the actions that match up with our beliefs. It doesn't happen overnight. For most of us, it is a lifetime process. But Paul begins here in verse 8, and we're going to read down through verse 20 this morning, and then we'll finish up the end of chapter 4 and get into the first verse of chapter 5 tonight. But listen to what Paul says. He says, "But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God." God, excuse me. "But now, after you have known God," or rather are known by God, "how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." We pray with you. Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word this morning. God, as a pastor myself, I can feel the pain that Paul has been through. Lord, he's concerned about the salvation of his children. Lord, in a sense that he was the one who led them to you. And Lord, I feel his heartbreak, knowing that people have turned away not only from you, they've turned away from the truth, but they also have turned away and against him. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would not turn away from you, we would not turn away from the truth, but, Lord, we would accept the truth that is given to us, that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts and minds today. Lord, that it's not about who we are, who we've been born to, who our grandparents were, or anything else. But that, Lord, we simply place our faith and trust in you, whether we're Jews, whether we're Gentiles, whether we're Greeks, whether we're American, black, white, it doesn't matter. Lord, everyone is saved the same, and that is through faith. Lord, may we hear your word today, and may you speak to our hearts. Correct us, Lord, where we have gone astray. Lord, forgive us where we have failed you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see several things that are going on here. We see that there's a regression, and by that I mean that there's the people were at one place, we could call them backslid because they were at one place in their faith. But then these false teachers come in and start spreading a false gospel. But what happens when people don't know the truth? They'll believe anything. They'll believe anything. Can I just be frank with you this morning? My name's Tim, but I'll be frank today. If you don't know the Word of God, you are a prime target for Satan. Do you hear me? If you don't know the Word of God, if you're not in the Word of God, you are a prime target for Satan. Because you don't know the truth. Well, I go to church. So? Well, I listen to Brother Tim. What does he know? Right? Spend time in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the light. The Word of God is the truth. And it keeps us from being deceived. It keeps us from going down the wrong path. These churches of Galatia, not the buildings, but the people, were regressing in their faith. They were moving backwards instead of forward. As a Christian, I'll be frank again, you shouldn't be today where you were 5 years ago. Amen. Your faith should be stronger, should be growing, and if it's not stronger and growing, it is your fault. Because you are as close to God as you choose to be. Amen. What does the Bible tell us? Draw near to me and I will do what? So you're as close to God as you choose to be. So I'm celebrating Christmas. Well, most of the world is. But you can celebrate Christmas and never once celebrate the birth of Christ. Right? The people were moving backwards. But there was also another problem, and that was with relationship. Not only with a relationship with their salvation and being secure in their salvation, because as false teachers come in and spread the false gospel, that they believe the gospel to begin with, because Paul preached it and taught it to them. They believed in Jesus, so I believe they were saved. But the problem is when you start adding in other gospels to that and cause people to doubt, what happens to those people? They may be saved, but they're never going to grow. Right? They're never going to grow in their faith. They're going to stay where they are because now they have doubts. They have doubts. And these false teachers were coming in telling these people, okay, it's okay to believe, but to be really saved, you've got to keep the law to perfection. But then Paul is also concerned about the reasons why these Judaizers wanted the Galatians to follow them. In verses 8 and 9, Paul talks about, you know, that they formerly served false gods, which were not gods at all, right? There's only one God, the true and living God. But these people, because they had grown up in society where, if you go back to Acts chapter 14, we're not going to do that this morning. But they worshiped the Greek gods of Zeus and Hermes and other gods to which they placed their allegiance and loyalty to. But then Paul comes along and he preaches to them the truth of the gospel, and they believe. Okay, that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But there's a problem, because Paul moves on and he talks about in verse 10, he tells him, he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. They were being taught that, okay, you can believe Jesus, but But now you've got to keep all the Mosaic laws as far as days and holidays and months and celebrations and all this kind of stuff. Some denominations, listen carefully, some denominations and cults say you don't celebrate Christmas or birthdays. Y'all heard of them, right? I won't call their name. I'm just simply saying they say they use this verse and they take it way, way, way out of context, okay, to say that you can't celebrate Christmas. You can't celebrate your birthday. Is that really what Paul's saying? He's saying, listen, keeping them days is not going to save you. That's what he's saying here in context. He's saying you can keep all the days, the holy calendar if you want to, but that's not what saves you. Faith is what saves you, not keeping of the law. He goes on to say in verse 11, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain for you. What does that mean? Paul was afraid he had wasted his time on them. Not that you ever waste your time sharing the gospel, okay? But here again, I can feel his pain because there's times you pour your heart and your life into people, you give them your time, your effort, and then they draw back from you, and they draw back from the truth, they draw back from God, they draw back from Christ himself, and they're in that place where they're just tossed back and forth. They don't know what they believe, and Paul's saying, listen, I'm afraid for you. Have I wasted my efforts on you? Because if you return to the law, it's not that you lose your salvation, but you're going back to something that could have never saved you to begin with. And he says, if you put yourself back under the Old Testament laws, then Paul's preaching to them in a very real sense has been in vain. So then he goes on to say in verse 12, become like me because I became like you. What is Paul saying there? Because if you just read through that verse, you're like, huh? Right? In a very real sense, and we'll look at the verse in just a moment, but in a very real sense, when Paul, before Paul's salvation, before Paul's conversion, because he worshiped the law, right? If you look and you listen to Paul's testimony, in a very real sense, Paul worshiped the law. He would do anything, even kill Christians, because they said, salvation is by faith, not by law. He worshiped the law in a real sense. Before the Galatians were saved, they weren't under the law, were they? They were Gentiles. They were not under the law. They probably didn't even know the law. But then when they got saved, then the Judaizers come in and say, hey, you got to keep the law. So now they believed in Jesus, they trust him, but now they're trying to put themselves back under the law. And Paul's saying, listen, become like me because I became like you. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying simply this. I lived under the law. And the law was a prison. There was no way out. We've talked about it. We were confined under the law. We were bound all everywhere. We were cubed in like a box. We were shut in. No way out of the box. No way out from under the law. And Paul's saying, listen, when I trusted Jesus Christ, I was set free from that law that bound me. I was loosened from that. I was free to worship Jesus Christ and God the Father freely without the restrictions, without the laws, without any of that. And you were free because you weren't under the law to begin with. But now you've placed your faith, you're known to God and known by God, But now that you're not by him, now all of a sudden you want to be who I used to be. And Paul's saying, listen, become like me. Become free like me. Because I became like you. In other words, what they were really doing, Paul was here. He was under the law, right? He worshiped the law. They were just going through life worshiping whoever, whatever, right? Paul got saved and he moved over on their side. Now he's free. They were free because they weren't under the law. What did they do? They went to living under the law where Paul used to be. And he's saying, listen, become like me because I became like you. I was free to worship God. I was free to be and to live by the Spirit, not to be bound by the law that could never save me in the first place. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Paul says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which was in the law, which is in the law, he was blameless. Man, every day he woke up, how can I keep the law? How can I keep this? How can I do what's right? How many of us do that with Christ today? Anybody? I want to do everything you want me to do today. God, I don't want to break any of the laws. Paul's saying, listen, I lived, I slept, I woke up, I went to bed, wondering, thinking how I could keep the law as a way of salvation. He worshiped the law. But until he met Christ, he didn't know that he was bound under the law with no way out. You see, they were being taught by the Galatians were being taught by the Judaizers that salvation was only part of salvation. Faith was only part of salvation, but the law was the completion of salvation. He was afraid for them. He was afraid because they were they were placing themselves back under the confines of the law. But as I mentioned, he was concerned too about their relationship. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, and we'll go back there just for a minute. He tells them, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. Listen, Paul had some infirmity. We don't know what it is because Paul didn't tell us. But I can tell you a few things, I would guess, and you know, you can debate it all day long, and I'm not being dogmatic on it. Paul writes in one of the letters, he says, see how large a writing. Now, well, it doesn't mean the volume of writing, because Paul could write a whole book, right? But Paul was talking about, see what large letter, that whether it was individual letters. Paul had been beaten, he had been whipped, you know, at one point they stoned him and they drug him out, put him on the south road thinking he was dead, right? Paul had, you know, it could be that because them rocks hit him in the eyes and hit him in the head, it may have caused him to have eyesight problems. It could have been that he was so beat up, banged up, broke up from the stones that he had arthritis. Can I get a witness? It could be a number of things. We don't know. But when Paul came to Galatia, he had an infirmity. Did the people accept him and say, well, you know, we're going to reject you because you don't look like us, walk like us, talk like us? He said, no, you accepted me as if an angel of God. What does angel mean? A messenger of who? Of God. He said, you accept me as messenger of God, And even more say than that, you accept me as if you were accepting Christ Jesus. You didn't shun me. You didn't look down on me. You accepted me with open arms. You heard the truth of the gospel that I preached and proclaimed to you. And you believed. Paul was afraid, concerned for their personal relationship. In other words, he's saying, you used to treat me as if I was a messenger from God. You used to love me as if I was Christ himself. Not that Paul was putting himself on that level. I do not think that's the intent. But Paul's saying, listen, you accepted me like you would a Christ. But something has changed. Can I tell you, I know that the longer you serve God, there's some friends that have to go. Amen? Some friends aren't good for you. Some friends, so-called friends, will lead you down the wrong path. Can I get a witness to that? Some friends have to change because God gives you new priorities, new vision in life, new responsibilities, and things change. But when you come to the church of God, the true church of God, if you have people that are trying to separate you from the crowd, you better cry wolf. Okay? If you got people coming, and it only takes one, right? It takes one, and the Bible tells us that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. See it over and over again in Scripture. Three people, Peter, James, John. They were strong, right, together for the Lord. But then you got three people, like Job's friends, so-called friends, that wanted to accuse him of being a sinner, Anyhow. You get one person, then they get another person, then they get another person. And they can destroy the ministry of the church. They can destroy the ministry of an individual because they team up together. Problem is with a personal relationship Paul is concerned about is how these people came in. And we'll look at this in a moment. Their motives were not good. They were trying to exclude them, right? Which means to draw away, to separate them from the body, from the believers, from those who were strong in their faith. They were trying to take their allegiance on, put it on themselves instead of on Christ. And so it was a battle Paul was fighting. But as we look here, we think about how as long as the preacher, Paul was telling the truth, he was leading them in the true gospel, they were believing it, but then these other people come in and they begin to deceive people and draw their attention away. But think about this, Paul warned a young preacher that this was going to happen. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy some years later. It says, "For the time will come when they will what? They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire." What is the desire of a false teacher? They want your attention on them. Anytime you're in a Sunday school class or in a preaching service or in a group of people, and that one person's always trying to get the attention on them, better watch out, okay? Better watch out. This one says, according to their own desire, because they have what? They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what?
Fables,
to false teaching. Paul's saying, he's telling this young preacher, beware, the time's coming. The time's coming when people, that they will turn on the truth, they'll turn on God, and they'll turn on you. Plain and simple. he warned Timothy this day would come. That these churches, the people in Galatia, they once admired Paul. And now they had grown to hate him. Why? Did he do something wrong? Was he preaching false teaching? No. He was telling them the truth, and the people began to hate him because he told them the truth. You know, we think that's sad and right to say. And we say, well, that doesn't happen today. Ooh, you better beware. You better beware. They hated him and grown to despise him because he simply taught them the truth. Look at verse, go back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 15. I want us to look at this verse for just a second. That's what it says. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? I mean, we could shut the Bible right now and preach for a month on that. Let me rephrase it. Where did all your joy go? Can I ask out of each and every one, where did your joy go? In other words, Paul's saying, you used to enjoy serving the Lord. You used to enjoy the faith. You used to enjoy the gospel message. You used to enjoy the conviction of the Holy Spirit because you knew you were growing in your faith. If you're not being convicted by the Holy Spirit, better check yourself, right? What then was the blessing you enjoyed? Where did your joy go? Can I simply make a point right here? When you're saved by grace and you go to living, trying to live under the law, your joy is gone. Because you're not living according to faith. You're living according to the law. And some of us in church, you know, we're so bent on doing it, and we need to be careful with our witness, with our testimony. I heard a story of a man who slipped up and said something in a place he shouldn't have said it. Well, he shouldn't have said it no matter where he was, I mean. But he slipped up and said something, and another person overheard him and said, I thought better of you. I thought better of you. Now, we're all human, I get that. But man, you can damage your reputation, your testimony like that. And most of the time when we hurt and damage our relationship, our reputation, our testimony, you can't just get it back like that. It doesn't work that way. Paul says, what happened to your joy? Where did your joy go? When you stop living by faith and start living by legalism, how can you ever be happy again? How can you enjoy life? How can you enjoy the gospel? Because you've taken the gospel and made the gospel of no effect, and you've put legalism on the platform. And Christ didn't die on the cross for us to live under the law. He gave us the law to show us that in the law we could never, ever have salvation. That it was only by faith in him and his finished work on the cross. But listen to what he goes on to say. For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That's how much the people admire Paul. Paul said, you would have done anything for me. You would have done anything that I asked you to do. You would have followed me anywhere with joy. But now you're back under the law. You're back under legalism. You're trying to follow these false teachers. For why? For what reason? Listen to verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Have you ever told a friend the truth about a situation in their life or whatever they're going through and you tell them the truth? Maybe it's your kids, right? Maybe it was your mom and dad that told you the truth. What happens when we're bent on doing our own way? And somebody tells us the truth, what do we do to them? Hopefully we should love them even more because they're a true friend. But oftentimes we disassociate with them. We go off in a different way because they have the guts, they have the nerve, they love you enough to tell you the truth, and you can't stand the truth. And you'd rather walk away than to be found guilty and to admit your failure. Where did your joy go? They were freed from sin by faith, now they imprison themselves again with the law that they were never under to begin with. They were mad, bad, sad, when they used to all be glad. But they moved away from that. They moved away from the joy they once had. But oftentimes we do the same. You may not know this, but I can stand up here on Sunday mornings and I can see the ones that pay attention and I can see the ones that don't, right? You're not happy. I can see whether you're on your phone or not. I can see if you're distracting yourself from hearing the gospel. I can see if you're trying to distract somebody else from hearing the gospel. And some people have often asked me, well, that's disrespectful to you as a pastor. I said, no, they're not hurting my feelings. They got the answer to God, right? They've got an answer to him. I'm just a pastor. You can step on me, kick me, call me names. That's okay. My feelings get hurt, but I'm sure you're hurting God's feelings a whole lot more than mine. You see, the problem with that is when we're not paying attention to the gospel, we're allowing Satan to sneak it right up on us. You say, why am I having these problems in my life? Maybe you've let Satan in the door. Maybe you have opened the door for him because you're not, you don't care about the gospel, you don't care about the truth, you don't care about God. But oftentimes we know the truth, but we don't want to hear the truth, we don't want to live by the truth. We don't want to walk in the truth. But let's finish up on the last third point, the reasons. What were the reasons? Why was this a conflict issue to begin with? I'm going to give you just three quick things, I promise. It's kind of like Paul versus the false teachers, or Paul versus legalism, however you want to put it would be fine. Three reasons. Number one, Paul's motives for sharing the gospel with the churches in Galatia was pure. He had pure motives, pure reasons for being there. He longed for them. As a parent would for their own child, he longed for them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. He served them. He loved them. He told them the truth. His motives were pure. But the Judaizers, or the legalists, if you want to call them that, had improper motives. It wasn't about God for them, was it? It wasn't about God at all. They wanted the people's worship. They wanted the people to follow them. Paul seemed to say, hey, point them to Christ. Look at him. Look at what he did for you. Have faith in him. Not in Paul, but in Christ, what he has done. Paul spoke the truth. He told them the truth. But what did the legalists do? They used flattery. You ever been around? And don't get me wrong, I understand about telling people they look nice, or, you know, thank you for this or whatever. But But these people had all cheer mode. They were. We used to call it blowing smoke. Y'all got the point. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, they were, you know, just pouring on the honey, so to speak. They were just dumping buckets of sugar on them. And the purpose wasn't to draw them close to God. The purpose was to draw them to themselves. They wanted people following them, not Paul, not Christ. So they used flattery. Paul just simply spoke the truth. The legalist, as I already alluded to, they wanted a personal following. They wanted the people to go after them, to run to them, instead of listening to the truth. Paul simply wanted them, as I've already stated to you, that Paul just simply wanted the people to follow Jesus, follow him. Because even Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? Paul wasn't the point of finger at himself, so to speak, although he was. He's saying, listen, I'm trying to follow Jesus closely as I can. Come along with me as I follow Christ. He's pointing them to Jesus. He's pointing them to Jesus Christ. But then Paul goes on to tell them there in verse 18, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always. What does Paul mean? Because, you know, you kind of might can get confused a little bit here and say, well, what's he mean by this? I like the way he says, in a good thing always. It's good to be zealous for the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We should all be zealous of the gospel of Christ. We should all be zealous to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good to be zealous in a good thing. But what is the flip side of that coin? It is not good to be zealous for something that's a lie. Right? In a good thing always. A good thing is the good news. But to go under the law, to revert back to trying to live under something you were never intended to live under, it is not good news. That's not a good thing to be zealous of. Then it goes on to say, not just when I'm present, it's a good thing to be zealous for the gospel, whether I'm with you or not. It's a good thing to be zealous about the gospel, whether I'm with you or not. But on the other hand, it's not a good thing to be zealous for a false gospel, whether I'm with you or not. That's not good. But then, as the pastor's heart shows in verse 19, he says, my little children. Here again, this is not a derogatory statement. It is a statement of a father speaking to his own children. Okay? That is the connection. You see that over and over again through the Gospels and through the New Testament. For whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I believe as a pastor, the primary concern of a pastor is that the people in the congregation are saved. Right? Share the good news. Spread the good news. Teach the good news. But when people come to saving faith in Christ, Brother Tim brought this up this morning, is that the end goal, just to get saved and then we're done? No. This is what it says. Until Christ is what?
Formed.
It's an interesting word, isn't it? It's an interesting word, formed. Think about this for just a moment. Formed is from the Greek word morpho. Morph into the image of. What it means. When you're saved, that's the beginning, right? That's the start point. We hear the good news, we hear the gospel, we reason it out into our mind, and then it gets into our hearts. And as it goes through that process, it begins to change our mind about who we are, who God is, what He has done, what we have done, and that we're sinners and that He's a Savior. We need a Savior because we are sinners, right? And it goes into my heart, and I begin to believe it. And so then I call on the name of Jesus who will save me, right? I put my faith and trust in Him. He puts His Holy Spirit inside of me. And that Holy Spirit begins to do what? Leave me where I am. He begins to change me. Who does He change me to? To look like Tim? I know I look like me. But in my actions, my words, my deeds, my thoughts, my wishes, my desires, everything about me, inside, outside, who I am, my character, my integrity, all of that should be changing into, morphing into the image of who? Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become what?
New.
I'm not who I used to be. I'm not there yet, amen? Just ask anxious. I'm not there yet, but God's working on me. He's bringing me to that point where He wants me to be, where I look more and more like Him. Paul was telling us that the purpose of God for every one of us who are His is to change us, to transform us, to morph us into the image of His Son, Jesus. But if we are stuck on whether the gospel is by faith or gospel is by the law, which is not the gospel, right? If we're stuck between the two because I can never keep the laws, right? And so then because I can't keep the laws, I doubt my faith. And if I doubt my faith, then I'm not sharing the gospel with anybody because I'm not sure how to get saved, right? Because I've never got to the point where I'm good enough for God to save me. But God doesn't save us based on keeping the law. He saves us through faith to set us free from the law. How do I describe that? Well, we looked at this probably a month or so ago. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, one of my favorite verses, because I realize in my own personal life the struggles I've had. Because He said, I struggle with my faith. I struggle in that. Can I tell you this? If you've never struggled with your faith, I'm happy for you. Okay? But for most of us, I would probably guess that at some point in time in life, we have struggled with who we are in Christ. Because we always, Satan's on, the Lord's on this side, Satan's on this side, and the Lord's saying, have faith, you're saved by faith, and what's Satan over here doing? Man, you just blew it. Why would God love you? Why would God say you can't do anything, right, Tim? Right? It's that vow. But here's the truth, and I think Paul describes it best. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm still in the flesh, right? I hope so. I live by what? In who? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Are you living by faith this morning, or are you living under the law? If you're living by faith, it should show in everything you think, everything you do, everything you are. Paul didn't write off the church of Galatians, okay? He didn't just write them off and say, well, I'm done with y'all. Y'all don't like me anyhow. You know, there's been Sundays I felt like that. I'm just going to walk away. But here, Paul said, man, listen. Chapter 4, verse 20. This is what he says. He didn't say, I'd like to just leave. He didn't say, I'd like to get on out of town. He said, I would like to be present with you when? Now. And to change my tone. For I have doubts about you. Paul's saying, listen, you're my children in faith. You're my children as far as, you know, I was your pastor. I've taught you the truth. I led you in the right ways, and you've gone off track. And I would like to be there to guide you back on the path. Because when he talks about the birth pains, you know, there's the birth pains of actually being pregnant and having a child that you go through. And in the real sense, Paul was saying, listen, I was anxious for you to come to know faith in Christ, to know him as your Lord and Savior. But now he's anxious again about the path they're on. That they've turned the gospel into something that's not the gospel. That they're heading down a road that leads to being stunted. It leads to a lack of spiritual growth. It leads to a lot of things. And if it's allowed to be taught and that person tells somebody else, well, you got to believe in Jesus Christ, but you also got to keep the law. Is that the gospel at all? So what does that do? It damages the gospel, but it also keeps people from coming to faith in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you trying to live under laws that no one could ever keep? I mean, think about it. First commandment. Have no other gods. How many of you this past week thought of something else more than you did God? What are you worshiping? Have no graven images. You really thought more about their bank account this week than you did about God. What are you worshiping? You said we can't keep the law. Nobody can. That's why Christ came. That's why he was born 2,000 years ago. To bring us salvation. To set us free from the law that could never save us. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? If not, I invite you to this morning as we sing. Will you give your heart and life to the Lord and let us rejoice with you. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of the service this morning and come to the opening of the invitation, Lord, my prayer is that everyone here has placed their faith in you and you alone for their salvation. Lord, that they are secure in their salvation and that they're trusting nothing else and no one else but you to save them from their sins. Lord, I pray, knowing, Lord, that we often can have doubts. But Lord, I pray that you would make us cleanly aware whether our doubts are from you, leading us to trust you as our Lord and Savior, or whether they're just doubts because of sin or something else in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just help us today as we sing the songs and verses of invitation, Lord, that you would just lead us to correction. Lord, if we're not right with you, Lord, I pray if we don't have a relationship with you, Lord, that you would deal with us there. Lord, if we're heading down the wrong path and believing the wrong things and leaning on things, things that can never save us, never change our lives, and I pray, God, that you deal with us in that, and I pray, Lord, we confess those sins to you, knowing that you will forgive us. Lord, maybe we just need to rededicate our lives, and Lord, just in this Christmas season, I'll put our hearts and minds on you where they belong. Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand with you.